You have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel as we begin looking at this Old Testament book, also known as the First Book of Kings. There was a time when the four, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, were just 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Kings. And then later they renamed it 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. It's really, the four books are about the dynasty, so to speak. Up to this point, we've had Joshua taking the land. We've had judges who judged in the land and not very well. You know, there's a lot of really dark stuff in Judges. Probably one of my least favorite Old Testament books. It's just, but Samuel is where everything changes. It's like there's a change coming. And I think this is a good book for us because we see change coming with government and so on and so forth. So, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 1, there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jerom, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zupah, an Ephraimite, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other was Paniah. Paniah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, just because it's in the Bible does not mean, oh, well, it's in the Bible, you know. That makes it legal. You can have two wives. As we get in here, we'll see there was a lot of conflict. Bobby just got smacked, not even going to ask. You see the conflict between these two women, and you look at, you know, Rachel and Leah and the two handmaidens and all the conflict there. I tell you, I can't handle one, so I would not want to have two wives. So this man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of the hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Now, God knows the hearts of every man. Sometimes we see certain things going on around us and we think, why doesn't the Lord do something about that? But the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but he is slow and patient, hoping people will repent. I said all that to say, Eli's two sons were not good guys. They were wicked. And yet they were the two priests at the time. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Paniah and his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. Now, the Bible says the Lord closed her womb. And the question is, why would God do that? Why would God cause grief? God plays chess. We play checkers. We play marbles. God plays chess. And he is always five steps ahead of us. So just because we can't see what God, the chess master, is doing, does not mean that God does not have a plan. In fact, Sunday morning, I'm going to be preaching on God has a plan. And so there's a good little plug for it right there. And so her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. And so, and again, God knows what's going on. God is watching this. He's watching how this other wife is provoking Hannah. And so it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Now, Hannah undoubtedly prayed for God to give her a child over and over and over and over. I had someone say to me one time, if you ask God for something more than once, it just proves you don't have faith. I said, well, if I ask my boss for a raise and he doesn't give me one, does that mean I should never ask again? That really doesn't have anything to do with faith. It has to do with persistence, amen? And in fact, when Jesus told the parable about the unjust judge, the whole prayer parable was about being persistent. So that is not a true statement. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" Now, this is a typical male statement. "You got me, baby. What do you need all those little rugrats for, you know? Am I not better than 10 sons?" And so Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now, Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul. I love these statements in the Bible, bitterness of soul. These are very descriptive things. Most of us understand what bitterness of soul means. It means that you have these grieving emotions that are just gnawing at your very fiber. Bitterness of soul. And she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Have you ever prayed that way? I bet every one of us have at one time. Just in anguish. Just, oh God, and you're just prostrate and you're weeping and you're praying, "God, please change this situation." And she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaiden and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." Now, this is really interesting here, because why did God not answer her prayer before? Perhaps God was waiting for her heart to change. Sometimes we pray and our prayer is all about ourselves. And then we get to the point where we begin to lose ourselves because the need we want is so great, and then it becomes more about God. "Lord, if you can just answer this prayer, it will bring glory to you." And all of a sudden now, the motive behind her request has changed. I wonder how many times we have prayed and God hasn't answered a prayer because of a wrong motive. And then as the Lord waits, something happens. Our heart begins to change. Our heart begins to change, where we get our eyes off of ourselves and we get our eyes wholly upon the Lord. And then all of a sudden, things start happening. Don't you love that? And so she now has said, "If you give me a man child, I will give him back to you all the days of his life, and no razor will come upon his head." And of course, that's the oath of a Nazarite, like Samson, no razor. It did not mean that the strength was in his hair. It meant the strength was in his vow. He was the original promise keeper. And to show his commitment to the Lord, they didn't cut the hair. So it was an outward sign, kind of like water baptism. We are told to follow the Lord's commandment in water baptism, but the water doesn't do anything. It is the vow, it is the commitment that I am testifying that I am going to serve and live for Jesus all the days of my life. And so it's an outward sign of something inwardly that's going on. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart only, her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition to you. which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. You know, sometimes all it takes is one word from the Lord to change the situation. Just one word. And we can be praying and praying and praying, and oftentimes I don't necessarily want to see God do something. I just want a word from the Lord. If the word is no, okay. I got it, Lord. It's not your will. I'm happy with that. You know, as a Christian, our goal is to please the Lord, right? And so if we have this thing we want and the Lord says no, then we say, okay, we are thankful to know the will of God. And that should be our heart anyway. We shouldn't go, oh, God, what's the matter with you, killjoy? You don't ever want me to have any fun. You know, but God knows better, right? So, you know, we say, okay, Lord, thy will be done, right? I think of Moses, who wanted so very much to see the promised land. The Lord had, you know, when the Lord tells you about something, it's different than hearing it from someone else. And the Lord is the one that told him it's a land flowing with milk and honey, you know. And so Moses probably just had this image embedded by the voice of God in his heart. And it came to pass on that day when Moses was told to speak to the rock and not strike it, that he said, must we bring water from the rock and stroke the rock? And in his anger, and the Lord told him he could not go into the promised land. Now, Moses began to intercede with the Lord at that point. He began to pray, God, please, don't do this to me. I've been in this wilderness wandering with these people. They always murmur and complain. I'm at wit's end. Please, God, please let me go into the promised land. The Lord said, no, you can't go. And the Moses pleaded again and again, Lord, please, Lord, I'm sorry. Have mercy. Forgive me. I want to see the glorious promised land. And the Lord said, no, Moses, and we will not speak of this again. Pretty firm when God says no. Now, the same thing with Moses as with Hannah. No was not no. No was not now. But we see that Moses certainly was in the promised land. In Matthew chapter 17, he is on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus and Elijah. He's in the promised land. And really, when you think about the verse in Hebrews that says Joshua could not really bring them into rest because there remains a rest for the people of God, that was really not the promised land. That's the promised land. Heaven is the promised land. And have you ever just wanted something so bad when you got it, you found out it really wasn't all you expected it to be? I think life can be a little disappointing that way. We get everything so built up, and it's so exciting. I remember when my kids were little, and they would be so anxious for Christmas, and they were so anxious to open those presents, and they were so anxious, and they thought they knew what it was, and maybe they were right, maybe they weren't, and then, well, can we open one Christmas? No, you know, you got to wait till in the morning, you know, and then Christmas afternoon, I'm bored. What? You're bored? What about all those toys you just got for Christmas? Yeah, they're fine, but now I'm bored, you know. So that's the way it is. Things, you know, that seem so exciting. And so God sometimes says no. He makes us wait. And wait is not no permanently. It is just wait. Now, Hannah is no longer sad, because she's got a word from the Lord. I don't need to see it. I just need to hear it. God says, yes, okay, I got it. It's done. I know I told the story, and I'll give you the short version just as a reminder. When Nathan was little, Deborah and I had a big fight, and she took little Nathan on a bus to Nebraska, and I was in Abilene, Texas, and I had fasted and prayed all day, walked out under that West Texas starry sky praying after dinner that night. And the Lord spoke to me and said, she'll come back. I got a word from the Lord. And I dropped a handful of quarters in a payphone and called Nebraska. Lord said, you're coming back. She said, I hate your guts. I'm never coming back. So anyway, I love to tell that story because really the next thing was where God taught me how to walk by faith. And I remember holding the phone out, looking up, saying, Lord. And he said, who are you going to believe, me or her? And I said, oh, well, I guess I'm going to believe you, Lord. You know, if God says it, it doesn't matter what man says. Doesn't matter how black and bleak and dark everything is. If God says it, you can take it to the bank. Amen. And so then I began to walk the walk of faith because I had a word from the Lord. And that's enough. That's enough. So when you're praying, don't ask the Lord to do something. Just ask him, give me a word of what you're going to do. Because all I need is a word. A word is enough for me to stand on. And that's what happened with Hannah. She's no longer sad. She got a word from the Lord. And then they rose early in the morning, and they worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vows. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, and then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. There are a lot of people who pray those foxhole prayers. You know, you're in a foxhole, bullets are streaming by your head, and you say, oh God, if you get me out of this thing, I'll do such and such. And then, all of a sudden, you got out of it. It's about 3 years later, and you just, oh well, the Lord knew I was just scared. He doesn't really want me to be a missionary. He didn't really want me to preach. He didn't really want me to go to Bible college. He didn't really want me to be celibate. He doesn't really want me. You know, I was just emotional at the time. And better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it, Jesus said. And so, but here we see Hannah committed to the vow that she made. And she said, when he's weaned, I'm taking him to the Lord. And so Elkah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. And then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. Now it's always customary in the Old Testament that if you're going to see a man of God, if you're going to the prophet, if you're going to the house of the Lord, you take an offering. You take an offering, and that's what you do, you know. I'm just kind of taken back by the attitude of people in churches in the 21st century that it's more about what can I get than what can I give. And I'm not even talking about money. It's just that, you know, they're looking for a handout. Why don't you pick up the church, clean the toilets, whatever. You know, I'm so thankful for the people I have that help around here. It's such a blessing. You know who's really sincere with the Lord. I was thinking about it this week. There's two verses I was thinking about this week. One is John 3:16, for God so loved, he gave. A lot of people throw love around, but they don't give. Love is an action word. And then the other one from James, show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. Again, faith is an action word. Faith, hope, and love, these three remain, and they are action words. They are words that motivate us to do something and not just to say something. End of my little sermon there. And so, the child was young, and then they slaughtered a bull. They brought the child to Eli. She said, oh my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am that woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For the child I prayed, and the Lord has granted my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And so they worshiped the Lord there. And so Hannah has kept her vow. She has brought little Samuel to the prophet Eli. Now, some might say, wow, what would it be like if you were Eli? You know, I don't know how long in those days they nursed. They didn't have all of the Gerber baby food, so I want to almost say they nursed longer than some women today. Was he 2 years old, 18 months? We don't know. But he's probably old enough to know, my mom just left me with this fat old guy. That had to be a little scary, don't you think? And yet, the Lord was in it. She's not abandoning him. As we'll see, she'll come back from time to time, bring clothes to him. She's a mother, you know. I think of that verse in Isaiah where God says, could a mother forget her weaning child? Maybe a mother could, but I could never forget you, says the Lord. Beautiful verse showing how much God loves us more than a mother loves her child. And so we know that mothers love their children. And so, but this was the gift that God gave her. And as we'll see, she'll have many other children later on. God opened her womb and she had many others. And so it's not like she doesn't have children, but her pride is little Samuel, who will grow up to be one of the greatest prophets that Israel has ever known. One of the greatest. Now, the question is, what can God do with my vow? Is there something that God wants me to not just make a speculation about? You know, well, maybe I'll do that. Did you ever think about doing something for the Lord and say, well, you know, I was going to do it last year and I never got around to it. I was too busy building my man cave. How embarrassing. But this year, I don't want to just think about it. There's some things I want to do for the Lord this year. I don't want to just play church. I want to be church. I want to make a vow. I want to make a commitment to God. I want to birth a little Samuel in my life for the Lord. And, you know, just because Jesus said better not to make a vow than make a vow and break it does not mean you shouldn't make a vow. It just means if you do, follow through, right? There's nothing wrong with making a vow. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. And God wants us to have a vision and have a purpose and have a plan and then follow through. Amen? And I believe if we do, God is willing to meet us halfway. I believe if we do, we could see some Samuels being birthed in Faith Fellowship, in Tahlequah, in Cherokee County, and that we could see a move of God. If us 5, 6, 7 people could just begin to pray and ask the Lord to give me a vision that I can make a vow, that I can follow through, and do something in 2017 for the Lord. Amen? I'm for it, aren't you? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful chapter that reminds us that just because you don't answer now or just because you say no doesn't mean no forever. And that we oftentimes, Lord, you're waiting on our heart to change, our priorities to change. So help us to continue to pray, to be steadfast. Let us be people who have strong commitments to you, vows to you, that we follow through and that we birth great things for the kingdom of God in the year to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.